Alex Glewis here, and today I'm talking to Daniel Lai, who is the CEO of Arctis, which is a cybersecurity company that has benefited from Australia recently being cyber attacked, and Scott Morrison's subsequent announcement of a huge investment in the cyber defence sector. Since these announcements in late June, Arctis has seen its share price double from 12 cents to now sit around 24 cents. It's still a relatively small company with a market cap of around $38 million. Arctis sells its platform to governments, universities, and the defence sector. So I discussed the growing interest the company is getting at the moment and how it's positioned to benefit from the government's investment in cyber defence. Here's Daniel Lai, the CEO of Arctis. Well, thanks for joining us, Daniel. Could you start by explaining what Arctis does in the cybersecurity space and how it enables customers to share information securely?
Absolutely. So Arctis stands for Trusted Information Sharing. So it's architected trusted information sharing, which is where it comes from. The phrase trusted information sharing came out of a US Senate commissioned report into the events of 9/11, where they discovered that a lack of trust and infrastructure prevented the sharing of information between law enforcement, border protection, and intelligence services to prevent the 9/11 attacks from occurring. So we established Arctis to solve that problem. We saw that as a global problem. We saw it as an important problem. And we saw it, you know, it is a problem worthy of establishing a company to solve. How did we do that? Well, we build secure information sharing platforms, which enable people to not only share information or any digital object, but also to collaborate and work on those in a highly secure environment. Now, we do that with a policy enforcement product, which looks at attribute-based access control. But essentially, what are we saying? We're saying that we look after the access controls for sensitive and classified information to people to share and collaborate on, in a nutshell.
Right. And so one of your key platforms is called Cogency. And so there's a version of that for government and for enterprises, I understand. So do you mind explaining how that platform works?
Yes, sure. Look, the Cogency platform is it's product platform agnostic. So it can be utilized on-premise and or on a cloud platform to service software as a service model. Now, the platform itself came out of the Department of Defence. We built it in 2006 to enable the Australian Department of Defence to share highly classified information with the US Department of Defence, and that information was classified up to and including top secret. So to do that, it had to be certified by both the National Security Agency in the US as well as the Australian Signals Directorate here in Australia. And they are highly complex certification processes and had to meet highly complex compliance requirements and security requirements. And effectively, at the behest of the Department of Defense, they asked us to commercialize that and bring that platform out to help solve other government agencies' information sharing challenges, where that was government to government, agency to agency, or industry to government. And that's effectively what we have targeted the platform to do. It was commercially released in April 2019, so it's just over 12 months since the product's been in the market.
And so the government's obviously one of your customers, but you serve, as I understand, a range of industries. So do you mind running through which sort of areas you're currently serving at the moment?
Well, essentially, we started where we were strong, which was in government, because the government has a need to manage and share sensitive and classified information, and they do that already, so it's not a new concept to them. So we won the Attorney General's Department, which was using it for the Aged Care Royal Commission in Adelaide, and they use it for things like where a whole range of different lawyers from different states need to get on and build the report, and obviously there's information in there that is extremely sensitive, but it's a means for them to do that on a classified platform. We also won the Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission for their program area for the National Criminal Intelligence System. So they were building that system which connects law enforcement and intelligence agencies between states and federal government. So that program office needed a way of sharing information between all of those different program offices as well. And we also won the Commonwealth Ombudsman. So we have a number of, and of course we have defence. So we have a number of Commonwealth agencies. But we also saw a very significant market in all of the industries which service the Australian Commonwealth and state governments. So anyone who's servicing those, such as legal firms and consulting companies and defence industry, for example, all have to meet the same level of compliance requirements that government do, and also manage and share sensitive and classified information. So that includes universities which are doing research and development for government. And in this case, we won our first client outside of government, which was the Curtin University, which is both an education sector win from a university perspective, but also the program of work that they were doing is in the space sector, which of course is another growing area outside of cyber, which is taking off. And that program of work also introduces Cogency to manage data, so big data analytics, which is an area that we're obviously very interested in expanding into. Our other win in the commercial space was with Northrop Grumman. Northrop Grumman is a global military system integrator and earns billions of dollars in revenue. And they were looking for how do they share classified information for bid management and tender responses between Australia, the US, and their partners. And they're looking to use Cogency to solve that problem there. And that's just a couple of indications of where we are seeing this going. Naturally, of course, we see ourselves applicable to many other market segments as well. Pharmaceuticals, energy, national critical infrastructure, finance. All of these agencies, all of these market segments are now digitally transforming their businesses, digitally integrating globally, and the digital economy, which was valued in 2018 at $3 trillion, is a trust economy. And that trust economy, the foundation of that trust economy, is security. So when security is breached, we have a problem with that digital economy, people trusting that digital economy and using those transactions. And of course, it runs on the sharing of that information. So data is the new oil, basically, and we need to protect that infrastructure and that information.
Yeah, and I guess the big sort of thing happening in the cyber security space was that recent cyber attack that Australia had in late June, and then Scott Morrison subsequently announced that $1.35 billion investment over the next decade. So what sort of impact will that have on Arctis and I guess the cyber security sector in general?
Look, I think we're already seeing the impact it's expected to have in the movement within cybersecurity stocks on the ASX. Now, let's go back to thematics here. The first one is obviously the increase in cyber attacks in Australia. Now, hold that thought for a moment, because those cyber attacks have been happening for a long time. What has changed really is that Australia has woken up to it and has now started to accelerate remedial actions to start to progress a response to those cybersecurity attacks. And what do I mean by that? Well, since the 1st of January, the AFR reported a 330% increase in cyber attacks in Australia against every single institution in Australia. Now, that includes government, includes education, includes industry, finance, everything. So it's quite clear that we are being targeted and we are under attack. And what are they looking for? They're looking to steal intellectual property. They're looking to steal personal information. They're looking to map and watch everything that we do so that they can, if there ever comes a conflict, they know how to respond and target Australia's critical infrastructure. But sometimes it's quite as simple as profiting. So we know that we are being targeted by foreign state actors and organised crime, but it's very difficult to separate the two because they work so cohesively together sometimes as well. So sometimes it's ransomware, and sometimes it's hacking Parliament House or the ANU or Toll or Bupa or Austal. So it's we know that these targets are very much focused on the defence industry and the defence industry supply chain and the financial sector and education sectors.
Do you think there's a connection between the high rates of cyber attacks and COVID, or is it I guess a coincidence that they're sort of coinciding together?
Look, I think COVID's interesting. COVID has accelerated the value of the digital transformation. When we physically cannot travel and physically cannot meet, the digital platforms become significantly more valuable. The concentration of data that becomes on those available on those digital becomes much more attractive. So we need to obviously step up the protection of those digital platforms. But as I said, this has been going on a long time. We've really just woken up to the fact. The second point I'd like to make on all of that is, you know, I mentioned that it was $3 trillion in 2018. I'd hate to think about what the value of that is today, given COVID. The other point with Scott Morrison making that announcement and the splurge of the $1.3 billion on Australia, you know, ramping up Australian cybersecurity protections, is that majority of that money will be spent in government. There's $500 million which would be set aside for the cybersecurity strategy, and which clearly placed an emphasis on Australian businesses taking responsibility for increasing their cybersecurity protection mechanisms to protect the Australian citizens. But also, I think, and this is critical, I think people have just started to wake up to the third announcement, which was shortly following the Cybersecurity Investment Fund, was the increase in defence spending of $273 billion. And within that $273 billion, there was $15 billion allocated for information and cyber. So that comes on top of the $300 million already allocated to intelligence agencies to secure information sharing between those intelligence agencies a few years ago. So there is the enormous amounts of money going into this. And that places companies that are dealing with government, which are already trusted and have a record of delivering to government with security cleared people and are already on the government panels and who are trusted by government, and a strategic advantage to take, you know, to be in a very good position to prosper from that. And I think we're well placed in all of those categories.
I was just about to ask that as well. I was going to ask how Arctis is positioned in the cybersecurity market to benefit from the investments. I guess we have to be competing for market share, or will your existing relationship with the government put you ahead of competitors to receive some of this investment?
Oh, look, the Commonwealth government has strong procurement guidelines for making sure that there's transparency and open competition for those things. But what we are seeing is much more rhetoric towards national capability and sovereign capability. And, you know, it's quite clear that the Australian government has actually started to recognise that the Australian cybersecurity industry is world class. Second to none in terms of the what we are presenting as cybersecurity products, consulting services, platforms, etc. So there is now clearly a recognition in government that you know, global multinationals still haven't solved that problem. And let's look at Twitter as an example of that. Quite clearly, you know, these are large companies. Facebook, they're all large companies, but yet they're still getting hacked as well. So there's a lot to be done in this space.
So how are you able to differentiate what you offer from competitors then? Are there certain accreditations that Arctis holds that others don't?
Well, as I mentioned before, look, the number of investors say to me, how do I know what a good cybersecurity company is or a good cybersecurity product is? And I always respond with, listen, you don't get the highest level of accreditation from the National Security Agency in the US and the Australian Signals Directorate if you don't have a product that's not good. So that's the first thing. Yes, we hold the certifications. Now, we brought that security model out of the Department of Defense. The commercial product has the same security models in it. And that policy enforcement or attribute-based access control allows us to present information in context of people's risk profile and who and where they are. So if you're in the Qantas Club and you log on to your terminal using Qantas Wi-Fi, you will see only unclassified information because the policy will say it's an untrusted path. We'll only release unclassified information to this person in this role of this nationality in that place. If I log on to my phone, which is certified up to protected, and I connect to a VPN, which is on protected, I will see up to protected information because we can have as many policies against any digital object as we like, which means it will be contextually delivered against the risk profile of that person. And that's a real game changer. So really, how are we different? Well, there are many cybersecurity companies which produce firewalls or anti-threat and virus software or routers. What we do is information security, which is very different to most of the other ASX-listed companies. And we protect the crown jewels of any organization's information. And so that's what our differentiator is.
Yeah. And then that announcement by Scott Morrison on June 30 seemed to be the catalyst of a big surge in your share price. It's almost doubled since then. What do you think has excited investors about Arctis? And I guess it seems to be the whole sector in general is really, as you said, other ASX companies are seeing their share price grow as well.
Correct. I think that announcement really woke the market up. I think that announcement highlighted what the critical need was for the cybersecurity industry, a national cybersecurity industry, a sovereign national cybersecurity industry, and focused investors on, you know, the huge opportunity that exists for Australian companies. I mean, cybersecurity cost the Australian economy, cybersecurity incidents cost the Australian economy $29 billion every year. There's a cybersecurity incident reported to the Australian Cybersecurity Centre every 10 minutes. The average cost of cleaning one of those up is $277,000. The sector is expected to triple from $2 billion to $6 billion by 2026. I think it'll grow bigger than that by that time frame. So, I think investors have woken up to that. The announcement of the $1.3 billion being spent on cybersecurity products also obviously highlighted that. But again, the connection to the defence expenditure of $273, which of $15 billion is going to be spent on that as well as the other previous announcements of hundreds of billions of dollars going to the intelligence sectors. I think all of those things, and people have connected the dots well, Arctis is an information sharing platform that has been specifically designed for and has government clients in and industry clients. It's obviously well positioned to prosper from these events. And it obviously has a future because the expectation here is that we are at the beginning of this surge, not at the end.
And you recently completed that $2.26 million capital raising, which you've said was used to accelerate the growth of Cogency to new markets. So could you expand a bit on more specifically how that money will be spent and what new markets you're looking at expanding into?
Yes, so that was part of a pivot that we just chose to do out of government and into specifically the university sector and the defence industry sector. Now, obviously companies, there's just much risk for having too much demand as there is of having no demand when you're looking at risk profiles to companies. For us, we decided to stick to where we were strong and where we knew the market, there was a distinct need in the market. And that pivot has been really focused on the defence industries. And that's like that announcement with Northrop Grumman. So the Australian government has not only announced the $273 billion in additional spending to defence, but prior to that already had underway a $200 billion capability uplift for the Defence Department. And it also has an Australian industry capability policy, which means any prime that wins a government contract to deliver these new capabilities has to spend 50% of that money on Australian industry. And so there's a massive amount of small and medium enterprises under threat, cyber threat, which need an uplift in their security profile very quickly. And Cogency is targeted to do exactly that, so that these mum and dad stores and these medium enterprises can come and log on to Cogency and immediately be certified to hold up to protected information and share that information not only with the Department of Defense, but with those large military system integrators such as Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, BAE, Novell Group, all of those sorts of areas. So we're strongly targeting that market. And the 2 points... $6 million that we sort of raised, I think it was a bit less than that, but it was is targeted to open up those markets. And obviously with the win with Northrop Grumman, we are focused on expanding that market pretty rapidly.
Yeah, and that June quarter, the one that's just passed, seems to be have been one of your busiest in terms of contracts, both new ones and renewals. And I believe you recorded a cash flow positive quarter. So is that something you're expecting to maintain going forward?
Well, the answer to the question is yes. So we expect that that we should, certainly looking forward, if we execute the strong pipeline that we've developed over the last 12 months, that we'll be cash positive. So that is what we are looking to achieve. It's something we're focused on. That doesn't mean that we won't necessarily look at additional capital to expand further growth, because as I said, we are hoping to be a global company. The problems that we're seeing here in Australia around those market sectors are the same problems that exist in the US, the UK, France, NATO, Southeast Asia. So look, we are certainly looking at forecasting that there will be additional growth and in the future that we'll look at our capital requirements as that arises and when we determine that we want to make those moves. But right now, we did that raise very strategically, and we don't necessarily have no expectation of coming back to the market, unless there's a reason to.
And could you provide a bit of detail about how your revenue model works? So what proportion of it, or if any, is recurring compared to just once-off project-based?
All the platform licensing announcements are annual recurring revenue. The platform, Cogency platform, is an annual recurring revenue model. It's essentially a SaaS platform. So it effectively, an instance per department or organization, what we've done then is modeled it on the basis of up to 200 users. It provides about $140,000 in annual recurring revenue, and there's an option there to renew each of those contracts on an annual basis. That money is paid up front on that annual contract, and that also helps provide cash flow into the business. We do also do services, and those services are the more one-off payments. So those services usually are associated with bringing the platform sales through. So where somebody wishes to trial the platform or wishes to integrate the platform on premise or into other applications, because the platform essentially is extensible to other applications and to provide that security model and extend it into their environment or into a hybrid cloud or into a public cloud. So it's a very versatile platform which can solve a lot of different problems, and once we land, we expect that we will expand into those agencies, and it's based on a network growth effect because it's about sharing of information which brings in additional other users from different organisations, and we expect to get that growth through that mechanism.
And just going forward, what's your pipeline looking like at the moment? You're in discussions with many potential customers, I guess, both in Australia and abroad?
We are actually. And how we get connected up with that is via, obviously we're trusted in government. Government introduces us to other other organisations overseas which they have a relationship with, and we then begin to pursue those opportunities through those introductions. And that's led to, we're currently the only Australian company, cybersecurity company, which is part of the NATO Industry Advisory Group, advising them on how they share information between their 29 member states. We recently were invited to the US to present at the Indo-Pacific Command in Hawaii, about how new alliances can be got up and running, and information sharing to their coalition interoperability forum. So there's a lot of interest in the company and a lot of global opportunity there. But those things need to be nurtured and done in a way that is going to be sustainable and successful. So we are taking our time and making, and of course, there's a bureaucracy there as well. So some of those sales cycles are a little bit longer, but obviously if you win them, they're extremely important. Back to the pipeline, well, certainly we have said that, you know, we have built up a significant pipeline. And I have mentioned before that that's in the vicinity of about 15 million. So for us, it's about making sure that we convert that opportunity in that pipeline into sales over the next, you know, six and 12 months. And really, that's where our focus is. Our focus is now building up that revenue base as a foundation to grow the company in those different areas to take on those other opportunities out there in the market. And as we do that, as I said, we'll look at our capital requirements as well, because, you know, it's about making sure that you do it responsibly and to build a sustainable company and a profitable company, but also not necessarily to miss out on those opportunities to grow when you need to grow.
That's great, Daniel. All right, well, we might leave it there, but thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
That was Daniel Lai, the CEO of Arctis.